here's a story from The World.
Nigeria is an African powerhouse, so it was alarming last Friday when the government there announced on Twitter that it had indefinitely suspended Twitter in that country. The move came 2 days after Twitter deleted a controversial tweet that Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari made about a secessionist movement. Joining me now are two Nigerian writers who are concerned about free speech in their country. Adobe Trisha Wobani is an essayist and humorist based in Abuja, the capital. Kola Tubosun is a Nigerian poet and linguist who joins us from Lagos. Thanks to both of you for being with us. Adobe, this is the talk of Nigeria at the moment. Let me start with you. What was your reaction when you heard about the suspension of Twitter there?
Well, the Nigerian government has been over the past few years hinting at regulating social media. So we know they've had for a long time problems with the way social media is run, fake and real and helpful and unhelpful. So the government has expressed that we do have issues with the kind of information that circulates on social media, especially when you have a population that is largely not as educated or as enlightened as you would want them to be. So there are problems definitely with the kind of information circulating on social media. And the government has made it clear for a long time, but this is the first time they've actually taken a step to actually stop a social media platform.
Kola Tubosun, you published your thoughts on this move in Foreign Policy magazine a few days ago. You wrote that Nigeria has slipped back to dictatorship. Those are pretty strong words.
Well, that's the only way I could describe it, because not only were they trying to muzzle Twitter or prevent people from using it, they started talking about criminalizing the use of the platform, which has crossed from just a government regulation into actually the stifling of free speech and the freedom of the press. They were compelling media houses to delete their Twitter handles. Even till now, the Attorney General of the Federation was saying that people could be arrested and tried for using Twitter. So to me, that was just reminiscent of a time in the past when president can just say something through a decree, and Buhari in this case has a reputation for that, and everybody just complies.
Adobe, help us understand the tweet from President Buhari that was deleted. What did it say and what was it referring to?
There's been an uprising in the southeastern part of the country, the home of the Igbo ethnic group. There have been calls for secession by a certain group called IPOB. There have been reports of violence in that area, allegedly by IPOB. So the president tweeted saying, "Remember what happened, I'm paraphrasing, the civil war of 1967 to 1970, when you tried to secede." So the president said, "Some of us fought in that battle and we know how it ended. Well, if that's what you want, we know the language you understand and we're ready to give it to you." So I know those words were ill-advised, but if the tweet had been better worded, it would have been clear that he was actually addressing this separatist group that even the most evil people do not necessarily uphold as representing them. So really, that was the tweet that generated all the outrage.
Kola, did that tweet generate much controversy in Nigeria before Twitter deleted it?
Yes, it did. And a couple of days later, we saw that the tweet was a paraphrasing of a remark that the president had given on TV. So it wasn't even him. It's unlikely that the president uses Twitter himself. Somebody had heard the remarks and then rewrote it on Twitter in that sloppy language that clearly was provocative and controversial. So many people already complained about it, but it was reported, and due to their own rules and regulations, they had to take it off.
Adobe, as you said, President Buhari's tweet was ill-composed, probably by somebody else, not him. Do you think Twitter should have deleted it?
As much as the tweet was ill-advised, I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with some millennial, swiveling on a chair in Silicon Valley, seeing outrage from Nigerians, and he doesn't know how many Nigerians, he doesn't know what section, he doesn't understand the context, and just comes and deletes the tweet of a president of an African country. I think that was also ill-advised.
But restrictions have been placed by social media companies on other presidents for volatile language, notably Donald Trump.
Exactly. But then they don't do it to the Iranian president. Twitter doesn't always delete it. And how can you police this? This is a conversation happening in Nigeria. After the president's tweet was deleted, people started pointing out that separatist group that the president was addressing, never mind that it wasn't clear in his tweet, they tweet the most hateful things, and those comments remain on Twitter. If you're going to do that, then go around, go to every president around Africa, go to every conversation and then delete. You can't just single out the president of a country and just delete a conversation he's having with his people.
Kola, where do you fall on this?
I mean, I'm not defending Twitter in every of the things they do. I have my own issues with them. But I think in this case, they were responding to an outrage, and the tweet in isolation, it seemed that he was addressing the people of southeastern Nigeria or Nigerian citizens. And so it seemed like a tweet that would definitely deserve to be at the least deleted from the platform. I don't think it's a thing about African or non-African or Silicon Valley young people versus political heads. Twitter is an individual platform. It's a private platform, and it has rules and regulations that have been signed by those who sign up for it. What we should demand is that the rules be equally applied, and I agree with you strongly about that. But the president is not above the law. If he's assigned to use the platform, he should definitely abide by the rules.
Marco, taking it beyond Buhari, I don't know of any Nigerian president who would have had his tweet deleted and not done something about it. I'm not saying what they've done is right, no. But the thing is, they have that strong man image to protect. We may not have had Twitter in 1999, but the presidents we've had over the years have responded in certain ways when that image was threatened. And this is what organizations like Twitter need to be aware of, because you're causing more problems by doing these kinds of things. You don't do what you did to Donald Trump, to a Buhari or an Obasanjo or whoever is president of Nigeria, and expect that things will go on as usual.
Why not, though? I mean, shouldn't all presidents be treated with the same level of, you know, censorship or support?
Every single Nigerian president that I've known would have done the same thing or something similar, reacted to show that, you know what, I'm still the strong man on this terrain.
Kola, do you see the path back from this in the same way?
You know, actually, I think what Twitter could have learned probably to employ more people in the region to be able to advise them on what to do. But I don't think that the issue of being able to wade in issues of free speech or threat of violence should be different standards for an American president and a Nigerian president. We claim to run the same system, the presidential system of government, where the president and the judiciary and the legislature are co-equal branches of government. And the president can't just wake up one day and outlaw an app and expect everybody to comply.
Well, he's done it.
A government is not supposed to clamp down on the freedom of speech of its citizens, no matter what has caused the problem of the president's ego being bruised by somebody's taking his tweet away. I just want to be sure that whatever we are concluding here doesn't imply that autocratic governments just have the right to do whatever they want because they can. Yes, they can, but they're not right to do so.
Adobe, it is critically important, don't you think, that the Twitter ban in Nigeria is lifted as soon as possible, right?
I mean, it's helpful because a lot of people make their living from Twitter, but I'm not going to pretend that I feel Twitter is what is running the country. I mean, it's essential, it's important, but I don't want to give the impression that Twitter is what is keeping Nigeria alive and keeping freedom of speech going. No, it's a great thing to have, been useful, especially for people like us who are journalists, but Nigeria wouldn't grind to a halt if Twitter disappears, especially because of the numbers of people. We're 200 million people, just about 15.8% are on social media, a fraction of that on Twitter. So let's put things in perspective. There are many people in Nigeria right now who are not involved in this conversation, who are not affected by the Twitter ban, and who are absolutely not interested in what is going on. It will be great to be restored, but it doesn't grind the nation to a halt if it's not.
Adobe Tricia Wobani is a writer and essayist based in Abuja, Nigeria's capital. Kola Tubosun is a writer and poet who's been speaking with us from Lagos. Thanks so much to both of you for talking about this Twitter ban in Nigeria.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
From PRX.